Hi guys, today I have a follow-up podcast on talks with Dr. Thierry Vrain on GMO. We had that talk at his Innisfree farm last month on the 27th of April, and the first part of it was up in these podcasts on the 5th of May. So this is the second part, and here Dr. Thierry Vrain continues to explain the bad science behind GMO technology on one side and the absence of third-party rigorous testing on the side effects of such technology on the other. So over to our talk with Dr. Vrain.
So proteins can be allergenic. It's a form of toxicity. The allergenicity is basically a new protein, a protein that your body does not recognize, and your immune system looks at it and says, I don't know that protein, it could be toxic, therefore I'm going to kill it. It's an allergen, it's an allergy. Your immune system is reacting to a protein that is new to it, it hasn't seen before. So if you put a bacterial protein, a bacterial gene into a plant, and that plant is now making proteins that your body has not seen before, because it could be what I call a rogue protein, or it could be a protein that's been truncated or altered in any way, then your immune system will attack it, and you now have an allergy.
And over a period of time, can it lead to more serious problems for humans?
There's quite a lot of studies that have shown that feeding mice and rats engineered corn or soy is quite toxic in the long run. Yes,
it's not
really documented. It's not detailed. The first alarm bell, so to speak, rung in 1998. There was a scientist in Scotland the Rowan Institute in Aberdeen, Arpad Pushtai. This was a very mature scientist who was a toxicologist, very well known in Europe, and the European government gave him a €1.5 million grant to design a system to test the toxicity or the innocuous properties of GMOs, of GM crops coming from the USA. The Europeans wanted to test those crops. They were not going to let them in Europe without testing as we do in the US and Canada. So this was his job. He got a very large sum of money to design the test, and he did it. Obviously, he had the grant because he was one of the most eminent scientists in Europe to do the work. He got the grant, and he fed mice and rat altered genetically engineered potatoes, and realized after several months of feeding that the mice, and I think they were mice, were becoming showing very severe symptoms in their internal organs, liver, intestine, other organs, stomach lining, etc. Mm. He was very alarmed, and he tried to let his director and his everybody know what was happening, and he was fired instantly. Oh. He was fired, and his lab was confiscated.
Oh.
And the biotech industry, so to speak, and the people associated to the biotech industry, which I call, you know, genetic engineer, who are basically on the payroll of the biotech industry, who do work for the biotech industry, mounted an incredible vicious attack that there was a huge protest from the scientific community protesting that he had been fired and that he was treated in such a way. So the government of England the Prime Minister of England asked for a royal commission, for a committee of scientists from England to look at his work and to review his experiments to make sure that he had done things properly. And they came to the conclusion that his work was lacking and it was bad science and he really didn't know what he was doing. And those conclusions really don't go well with somebody who is at the end of his career, who is one of the most eminent scientists in Europe, and that, you know, like he could do work like a very beginning graduate student who doesn't know what he's doing, and his statistics are not right, and his controls are not good. This doesn't wash. This doesn't wash.
Tell me something, Siri. This genetically engineered food. You covered the subject that you can get unintended proteins coming out from it because you don't understand how the system works when you alter the genes and so on. Apart from the unintended proteins, isn't BT kinds of corns are already designed to create a poisonous protein anyway?
There is also a good number of studies showing that BT plants, again, showing that mice and rats fed BT soy and corn come down with symptoms, with severe symptoms. So there is something about, first of all, the BT proteins, the CRY protein, CRY is for crystal, the crystal protein from the Bacillus thuringiensis. The sequence, the amino acid sequence, is actually very similar to some allergenic proteins that we know of. Mm. So it's very possible, and again, I don't know the detail of it, but it's very possible that the BT protein itself has already some allergenic properties.
I see.
But it's also very documented, it's well documented that the BT protein now expressed by the plants, whether they've been truncated, damaged, altered, mutated in some ways, have become toxic.
So, even if the protein created by this BT plant was producing exactly what was intended, if it was like that and wasn't producing bad proteins or truncated ones or unexpected, even then it's still a toxin or not? It's designed to be toxic to kill pests, wasn't it?
Well, it's definitely toxic to caterpillars and a few other insects. It's not toxic to all insects, but it's definitely toxic to caterpillars.
So,
And the industry claims that it has no toxicity to anything else. And yet, I see reports from government agencies and independent labs showing that the protein itself is allergenic to other organisms. I even see reports that the BT protein itself is toxic to the gut lining of humans and other organisms, other animals.
So isn't mammals, again, just a question from somebody who is not, are kind of in a family that is closely related, and therefore if it hurts one kind of mammal, there is a likelihood that it would also do the similar effect on another kind of mammal?
You know, mice and rats are not humans.
I know.
But we use mice and rats
for testing human...
For testing...
Drugs.
Chemicals, for testing pharmaceutical drugs.
Right.
We use them as canary in the mines.
Right.
They are the alarm. There is something that needs to be investigated here.
Correct. And because the assumption is if it erythromycin will likely have a negative effect on humans too, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't test it on mice. I see.
That's the normal procedure. If you want to, if you're inventing a new chemical and you want to put it in the food because it has some miracle property, you need to test it on mice and rats first. That's how it's done.
But here in Canada, independently studying this effect on mice and rats is not being conducted under control of the Canadian Food Health Safety or something.
It has not been tested in the USA or in Canada because of a decision by the government agencies that engineered plants are no different than the non-engineered plant. It's the concept of substantial equivalence.
And on this note of substantial equivalence, we come to the end of this episode of the podcast. On the next one on this topic, Thierry will explain further on the dichotomy between equivalence on one side, which allows this product to go into the market without testing, and the unequivalence or uniqueness of this product on the other side that allows it to be granted a patent. So watch out for the next episode of Dr. Thierry Brain talking on the subject of GMO. And for now, it's over and out from Tonu.